revelation this morning. I trust that you read Jeremiah 50 and 51. And if you read the 18th chapter of Revelation at the same time, you'll see so many references to, are similar between these two portions. And I trust that you've read Zechariah 5 through 11, since we've started studying it, and the removing of that ephah of evil to the plains of Shinar and set on its own base. Let me emphasize again, Revelation 18 is not of a church. It is not Mystery Babylon of chapter 17. This is a literal city, rebuilt in the last days after the church is raptured by the Antichrist. He may even start this city in the first half of the tribulation period, but he moves his capital there in the middle of the tribulation period, when he sets up the abomination of desolation in the holy place in the temple at Jerusalem. This is the world capital in the last days. It is the last nation on earth. You'll see that in the 50th chapter of Jeremiah and the 12th verse. I know the Authorized Version gives a correct translation of the word, since it can be translated both ways. Yes. No, from Rome, as far as the capital. He rules from Rome. 17 chapters, very plain. For the first 3.5 years. Politically, while the Catholic Church does it religiously. But when he receives this death stroke in chapter 13, and lives, and this spirit and soul from the bottomless pit enters into him, recorded twice in this book, he becomes the diabolical, Satan-energized, demon-possessed, last great world leader ruling over every kingdom on earth, even the United States, all of it. He's going to rule over the whole shebang. It is only natural, then, that the devil has the Antichrist to move his capital from Rome, since he has already destroyed, he and the ten kings have already destroyed the great scarlet woman in chapter 17, in the middle of the tribulation period. He has no more reason to have his capital in Rome. He moves it to Babylon on the river Euphrates. Ancient site, its home base, there in that last verse of the 5th chapter of Zechariah. There is no doubt at all, as we shall see, I want to show you several things why Babylon has to be rebuilt, especially from Jeremiah 50 and 51. First, Babylon's final overthrow coincides with the salvation of Israel. Now, you that have read this see that mentioned several times in Jeremiah 50 and 51, as well as in Isaiah 13, Isaiah 47, so many other texts. It's very plain in Jeremiah 50 and 51. I wish we had time to take each one of these texts and chase it down, but I gave you the reference here. I will give it. Jeremiah 54 and 5. 50th chapter, 4th verse, 5th verse, 19th verse, 20th verse. You read that text and you'll see that Israel is saved. Here toward the defeat of this great city. When he asked her to come out from her 6 times, as he does even in this text. Come out from among her, my people, and partake not of her plagues. Babylon's final overthrow can't be way back there when the Medes and the Persians overthrew the Babylonian Empire of Nebuchadnezzar and his children. It has to be in the last days. Second, Babylon's destruction will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. He says over there in Jeremiah 15:51. And here with fire, as in verse 7. Now, the overthrow of Babylon by the Medo-Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire, was not as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. But this Babylon will be destroyed by nuclear reaction. Not by the American nuclear weapons or Russian, but by God's. He will rain fire and brimstone on the city of Babylon like he will do upon the country of Magog in Ezekiel's prophecy. So this has to be rebuilt. Twice he says exactly like Sodom and Gomorrah. In Jeremiah 50 and 40, and Isaiah 13, 19. Third, as in Jeremiah 51, 26, it will be a perpetual desolation after this. Never be rebuilt. A perpetual desolation. It's also in Isaiah 13. And he also says, as in Jeremiah 51:26 and Jeremiah 51:37, they will not even use any of the material to rebuild the city. Yet there is a little village right now called Hillah, H-I-L-L-A-H, with a population of about 20,000 on the ancient site of part of Babylon. And God says in the prophecy in several places, the Arabian will not pitch his tent there, and they'll not shepherd their herds there. And yet I have a picture in my library of shepherds shepherding their sheep in the ancient site of Babylon, among the ruins. Now, they won't stay there overnight for superstitious reasons. But it's not a perpetual desolation yet. Fourth, 9 times in one way or other, God says it'll never be inhabited again. No more inhabitants in it whatsoever. As in Jeremiah 50 and 51. Like a funeral dirge, 7 times. Here, no more, no more, no more, with double negatives, making it emphatic. We'll see that in the text. 5. They'll no more even pass through it. Jeremiah 51:43. Isaiah 13:20. Here again you have the text, no Arabian pitches tent there. No shepherd shall fold his sheep. Number 6. Here in Revelation 18, quotes too much of these Old Testament prophecies of Babylon's fall to be a mere coincidence. As of a spiritual Babylon, while the one in Jeremiah has no idea of a spiritual Babylon at all. It doesn't have the Roman Catholic Church in view. It has a literal city. In the last days, it will be the empire capital of the Antichrist. Number seven, so Jeremiah 15:51 shows it's not mystery Babylon anymore, but literal Babylon. It says it's in the land of the Chaldeans. In Jeremiah 15:1, I believe it is. It places its place. It can't be Rome. It can't be the Catholic Church. It can't be the Ecumenical Church. It has to be a little city in the plains of Shinar, in the land of the Chaldeans. Eight. It's a hard one probably to get all of the thought that I have. It has to be in the last days, and it has to be a literal city after the ten kings and the Antichrist destroys Mystery Babylon. They're destroyed in chapter 17 when the Antichrist takes over the world empire. And yet this is his capital city. It's called seven times in this chapter, Great City. Megapolis is our modern word coming from that. The two Greek words. One more. Note then the absence of symbols in this chapter. Chapter 17 is full of symbols. Mystery Babylon. The beasts, the heads, the horns, the scarlet woman, the cup, the waters. Interpreted, but these are not interpreted. These are literal. There are two great cities in Revelation. Mystery, there is first Babylon the Great here in this chapter. Then the great New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven in chapter 21. Now turn with me to the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation and we'll see even some more of these. This is all introduction. Metatata. After these things are over, he sees another vision. Law of recurrence. And notice he's still on earth. I saw another angel coming down. This is Gabriel again. This Alone, another angel. Or notice his description, having great authority. And the earth was lightened with his glory. These special attributes ascribed to this angel, identify him all through the book. We shall see in chapter 20, again, some characteristics of him. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great. First time out of seven in this chapter. Is fallen. Is fallen. This double falling is not only a Hebrewism for absoluteness, but it's also the two Babylons that fall. Mystery Babylon and literal Babylon. But this city, I want you to notice the characteristics. And has become the dwelling place, the habitation of demons. The word devils, not diabolos, diabolos, that's diamon, demons. It has become the dwelling place of demons. I'd like to give a whole lesson on this verse. We saw in chapter 9 when the dragon or the devil when he was cast out of heaven as a star was given the key to the shaft of the Abyss. And the first creatures that came out of the brimstone smoke from the shaft of the Abyss were demons, locust-like creatures that were demons. And remember, that shaft of the Abyss is in the river Euphrates. Babylon, right there at the city. Okay? This great city becomes the prison house, as well as the dwelling place of all the demon activity upon the earth in the last days. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This earth is going to be covered with demoniacal activity of all kinds. We've seen it several different ways already. Christ in the parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13 gave one that was very graphic. When he spoke about the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man put in a field, and when it is grown, it becomes a great tree, and the birds of the air find a resting place in its branches. Don't ever get the idea that this mustard tree is the church of Jesus Christ. In the first place, the church is not in the 13th chapter of Matthew. These are the gospel, these are the parables of the kingdom. And this is evil. The birds are evil. You go back and read some portions in Daniel. There are several other portions. This abnormal growth. Remember, the mustard seed wasn't supposed to be a great tree. It's a shrub. And the church never was intended to have these foul birds nesting in it either. This is Babylon, Christ is given, in the last days. And the prison of every unclean spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Every bit of Satan's kingdom, authority, power, religion, worship, all the rest, finds its capital in Babylon. No longer in the seven-hill city. That's destroyed 3.5 years prior to the finishing of this. Notice verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of a fornication. This identifies these doctrines of demons and their activity. It's spreading Satan's religion around the face of the earth after the true church is gone. It all centers in this capital. It is the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Everyone. There'll be one universal religion. Oh, no, don't mistake me. There's the remnant of the woman's seed who preached the gospel of Christ, but that's not organized religion. They're witnesses. There is the woman who fled to the wilderness and finds a hiding place there to be protected against the Antichrist and his kingdom and the devil. Oh, I've got to hurry. Now he's going to introduce this brand new thing. The merchants of the earth. Did you notice that in Jeremiah 15:51, the number of accounts of the people who are made rich? Here we'll have seven great crowds that are made rich by the Antichrist. Merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That's of Babylon. The word delicacies is her wantonness, as we've already had. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Six times in Jeremiah 15, 51, God asked his people to come out from Babylon. All of her system, whatever it is. Now, God's people here is Israel, as Jeremiah 15, 51 makes very plain. That you be not a sharer of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. And then God gives a sevenfold great indictment of the sins of Babylon. First, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. You see her the requiting of her iniquities in Jeremiah 51, 56, 50 and 15, and 29, and 51, 24, and 56, and so on. God enumerates her iniquities. Remember, she's the prison house of every unclean spirit. The sins of the whole world are centered in. Rebuilt Babylon in the last days. And her influences around the world. Remember, the devil has nothing against making every foul thing a basis of religion and worship. Here recently, I've listened to some tapes of some devil worship in California. The description was given by the one who was taking the tapes of the actual ceremony. And I thought there isn't a brothel, there isn't a Playboy club, there isn't a hellish thing on earth any more foul than that was going on in this devil worship. The devil doesn't mind. Demons don't mind, they're foul spirits. Did you know there hasn't been a hellish thing that hasn't been done in the name of religion? There hasn't been an unclean thing that hasn't been made a form of worship, as in the Vestal Virgins of ancient Rome. Here, first then, are her iniquities that God remembers. Second, requite her. Reward her even as she rewarded you. That's do unto her as she did unto the saints. But then third is double the double unto her. Double the double. Don't just pay her back for exactly what she's done unto the children of God, but double the double. That's pretty big. According to her works. In the cup, that's number four, which she hath filled to her double. And five, how much she hath glorified herself and lived wantonly, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall never any more see any sorrow at all. Double negative. Who may? Double negative. Of course, this is taken from Isaiah 47, where she says, 47:9. I wish we had time to go back and read every one of these texts as we go along. I said a queen. I will never anymore at all see any sorrow, and all my kids gathered back under me, all of my false religions, the whole thing is going to be all right from now on. Like somewhat like Hitler's thousand-year reign he's going to have. Didn't last that long, quite. Boasting. But here's the first double negative in this chapter, and God's going to give her 7 double negatives back. Ume. It is probably as graphic as you can get to deny something. You can't say it very much bigger, except that the Greek does give 3 double negatives in one place, at least. But here is the double negative. I will not ever, no ever, see any sorrow. Number 6. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. I'm going to take this period of time a little later. Death and mourning and famine. And here's number 7. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. Mighty is the Lord who hath judged her. Now there are 7 great pallbearers. I like to call them that. She's one. Since she's going to be mourning too, I call her the first pallbearer over her own demise. Then there are 6 others. They're graphic. I love to call them pallbearers because they're crying and mourning over her because of the judgment upon her. Now besides her, look at the first one here in verse 9. And the kings of the earth. You want to read Jeremiah 15:46 with this one. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived wantonly with her shall bewail her and lament for her. The first one has the idea of great cries of lamentation. The second one's beating the breast. They were very demonstrative in their sorrows. In fact, any good Jew, if he had any money and lost a loved one, would hire mourners to beat their breasts so he could eat and drink and be merry while they were mourning. They always hired mourners. And, of course, the more money you had, the more mourners you could hire, and the louder you could get. And the more people would say, look how they loved him. While they were getting drunk a lot of times. First, these are the kings of the earth. That's the next set of pallbearers. When they shall see the smoke of her burning. That's also in Jeremiah 50:40 and over here in verse 18. The smoke of her burning. Remember again, as Sodom and Gomorrah. We read in Genesis that Abraham stood afar off and saw the smoke of the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah coming up to heaven. God says that's the way he's going to destroy Babylon. How did he destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Brimstone, fire and brimstone. That's what he's going to use to destroy this particular city. You know, the devil's crowd and the devil's kids always think they get away with it. But can you sin and get away with it? Every sin's accountable to the throne of God. It's going to be paid for. Every one. No omissions whatsoever, except covered by the blood. Thank God. Because he paid it all. But all other sins have got to be paid for. Bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her torment, or burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, alas, alas. This is the famous expression of the Jew. That great city, Babylon, that strong city. For in 1 hour, first he said 1 day, up above, now 1 hour. You're going to have 1 hour 2 more times in this chapter. And we shall see from Jeremiah 51:8, it was suddenly. But here's one I like even better about Babylon. In Isaiah 47:9, it's in a moment. It's a very brief time. When God starts judging Babylon, it's not going to be a long, drawn-out affair. 1 hour, one day, suddenly, one moment. These are all the same period of time. They're all synecdoches in figures of speech for that very short time. In 1 hour is thy judgment come. Here's the second set of third set of pallbearers. This one strikes a keynote. And the merchants, you'll see these merchants in Isaiah 13 and Isaiah 47. You'll find them in Jeremiah 50 and 51. They were made rich by the Antichrist and by this city of Babylon in the last days. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. And I put this one underscored. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Now you take a merchant and step on his pocketbook and you step on a nerve. Biggest nerve in the body of a merchant is his pocketbook, but nobody will buy his merchandise anymore. I can remember even in a store when I bought merchandise for Christmas and went into hock for it, $2,000-$3,000, expecting to sell at least that much for Christmas so that I could pay for what I bought. And then somebody get out, I guess, that I got typhoid or something. Nobody comes in the door. Nobody will buy my merchandise anymore. That's kind of bad. No wonder these old boys are crying the blues.